Welcome to Capital Conversations by the Venture Asset Management Initiative, produced by IMD, your go-to podcast to understand the dynamics in venture capital. In this new episode of Capital Conversations, we explore navigating portfolio triage in venture capital with Michael Stuckey. Michael Stuckey is Chief Investment Officer at Serpentine Ventures, as well as a coach and mentor of young entrepreneurs and spin-off companies from the ETH Zurich, or ETHZ. In addition, Michael is the co-founder and chairman of Auxivo AG and chairman of Fenex AG, both ETHZ spin-off companies. In the high-stakes context of venture capital, portfolio triage isn't just a strategy, it's a survival skill. As markets shift and startups struggle, VCs face the brutal task of deciding which companies to save and which to let go. But it's not just about cold hard numbers. It's a delicate dance of managing expectations, balancing resources, and sometimes delivering hard truths to passionate founders. In this episode, we dive into the trenches with Michael Stuckey, exploring how VCs navigate the treacherous waters of portfolio triage, and what it means for both investors and startups when the lifeboats are limited and not everyone can make the cut. Portfolio triage in VC identifies which companies to support and how much, usually near the end of the investment period. It can be triggered earlier by multiple companies needing simultaneous support.
Portfolio triage relates to the identification of which portfolio companies should be actively supported and also the decision of the level of support that you want to give to these portfolio companies. Usually this happens rather towards the end of the investment period, and then it becomes more actual once the investment period is over and portfolio management activities become the main focus. So basically all the investments have been done and are really focused on actively supporting the companies. Special circumstances such as a large number of portfolio companies needing support and or follow-on investments at the same time may also require a bit of an earlier triage process, but typically this is towards the end of the investment period.
Triage decisions consider startup potential, market factors, and the VC's ability to provide support. Value creation and fiduciary duties are linked through the VC's capacity to offer effective assistance.
Key drivers for the identification, for the process, are the assessment of the startup's potential, based on track record, the interaction with the founders, the exitability, the market environment, etc., and also the ability of us investors to provide the support needed. For example, other VCs on the table may be better suited than us. So you also have to take these factors into consideration. And also for portfolio construction reasons, depending on how your portfolio is built, you may have to take some decisions related to how your portfolio looks. The value creation and obviously the fiduciary responsibilities are tightly linked, as the ability to offer the proper support and the needed support influences the value that can be created in the end.
Common misconceptions include viewing non-triage companies as failures, which isn't true since triage decisions often relate to portfolio strategy. Clear, transparent communication with LPs and portfolio companies is crucial to address these misunderstandings.
One of the classic misconceptions is related to the impression that when a portfolio company doesn't make the cut as one of the positively triaged companies, it is automatically considered as a loser, which is not necessarily the case. As I mentioned earlier, portfolio construction reason may lead to triage decisions and has basically no real judgment on the quality of the company. But as with many misconceptions or misunderstandings, the reason can be found in the lack of the clear communication and actually to all stakeholders. So it's important that we have a very transparent dialogue, both with portfolio companies but also with our LPs, and we basically have a limited amount of resources, similar to the startups, which means we cannot allocate the same resources to all the portfolio companies.
Transparent communication involves regular exchanges to manage expectations and clarify misunderstandings. Being proactive and clear, even with harsh messages, helps companies focus on finding suitable investors.
Communication part is a very important element, and the regular exchange with the founder is absolutely crucial, and that's where you also do expectations management, and it becomes really important. As a concrete example, some of the portfolio company in our rookie fund, which is the very early stage fund, We're expecting an automatic follow-on investment from our other fund. Hence, they are now sometimes disappointed that this doesn't happen. And a lot of that has to do that there was a misunderstanding from the beginning because they felt that was a promise. So it's really important to be very transparent, even though that might be a harsh message that you bring across, but to inform them proactively that you may not have the funds, that you decided not to follow on with them at an early stage. Because for them, that also helps them then focus their resources and their time on other investors that may have either the right resources or the better suited people to actually support them.
Key challenges include managing disappointed or angry founders. Transparency and honesty, along with offering alternative funding sources, are crucial for maintaining trust.
So, of course, disappointed founders and, you know, sometimes angry founders and, you know, strong reactions happen, and we can completely relate to that. But again, I think being transparent and honest in terms of the way you communicate, particularly when there is no more funding, is a very important part of that interaction. And I think also the building the relationship of trust. And important when you say no to a company that you can't invest, that you help provide them with an alternative, i.e. you introduce them to other investors, or you show them that there are potentially alternative sources of funding. I would say that for startups, very similar, we need to make decisions on resource allocation, and saying no is unfortunately part of our job.
Now, Michael shares two concrete examples, one beyond their investment capacity, and the other with unrealistic valuations.
As a concrete example, we have one of our more successful portfolio companies is actually currently raising its next round. And while the assessment on our end is really positive, we already have quite a significant exposure to the company. So from a portfolio construction reason, we can't really invest. And on top of that, the amount they are actually raising and the level of maturity they have reached is beyond what we can actually invest. So we were very honest and transparent when we communicated that, and they fully accepted that. And then they came up with the idea of saying, but would you be willing to potentially sweeten the deal for the new investors by being open for a secondary? And to which we said, yeah, absolutely. We need to return some capital to our LPs. We already have done a relatively good performance with you. So we're absolutely open to help you there. And again, that's an example of a positive thing that was based on a positive assessment of the company, would have loved to invest it. And then we nevertheless try to accommodate them with offering some of the shares in a secondary. And then in another case, that's probably the negative one, and you have to bring that as well. There is a portfolio company that basically underdelivered quite consistently, unfortunately, but still had valuation expectations that were, I would say, born probably in 2020 or 2021, i.e. they were just not realizing that the world had changed. We repeatedly told them that, and that we would not entertain any discussions if they were not willing to concede on that. And unfortunately, they did not listen, so we had to communicate that we would not follow on.
Triage allows for revisiting investments and making strategic realignments based on additional data and relationships. This helps in making more informed decisions about which companies to support or invest in further.
Triage situation is always a great opportunity to revisit your investment decisions and do basically an in-depth analysis of your current portfolio and of the companies. And what I think the question you always ask yourselves, would we invest again in hindsight? If no, why not? And if yes, the question is, should we actually invest even more? Because we believe that's one of our winners. And I believe that this process is actually more conviction-based decision-making process than sometimes the first ones. And it really relies on additional data points. So it makes probably the decision a bit easier because you've got history, you've got a relationship that you've built with the founders. And hopefully this additional information and relationship will help you make better decisions, better informed decisions, and bet on those startups that will deliver the best.
Risks in portfolio triage include missing opportunities and making incorrect decisions. Mitigation involves sticking to your investment thesis, seeking external insight, and being transparent to manage perceptions and biases.
Well, an obvious fear is the fear of missing out, right? You might miss on good opportunities. You do your analysis, you question yourself, would I do that again? And you come to the wrong decision. So this is always the risk when you have to make a selection. But again, I think if you follow your investment thesis, you follow the history of the company, the interaction you had, and you base your decision on conviction, I believe it's also much easier then to both explain that to the company, but also to your LPs. And one way to mitigate the risk, I think, is also to get some outside insights, for example, from other investors or industry experts or even customers. So you try to basically minimize the bias that you may have, positive or negative, for or against a portfolio company. And the other potential downside is maybe related to perception that you could have in the market. When you constantly say no, some of the startups that, you know, got disappointed might go out in the market and say, look, why would you want to work with these investors? They always say no. Again, there, the sooner you are transparent and you explain yourself very clearly, I think the better it will be understood.
Success in future portfolio triage will depend on a strict adherence to a well-defined investment thesis and selection criteria from the outset, reducing the need for extensive triage later.
One of the key lessons learned of the past is to start with a well-defined investment thesis with clear selection criteria. And then, that's the most important part, is then actually to apply that when you deploy the capital. So when you take your initial investment decisions, we sometimes are struggling with the number of portfolio companies we have because we didn't really follow that process we had in place. And we have to do it now again through this triage process. And I believe that if we had done a more strict job at the initial investment, we would probably have less of a triage to do now. So I think having a clear defined investment thesis where exceptions remain exceptions and don't become the rule is one of the very important learnings and will hopefully lead to less triage work going forward with a new fund. And, you know, the more the portfolio reflects this investment thesis and it is actually based on the conviction, eventually, I think the easier the job will then be for the triage that will eventually have to happen as well.
Michael Stuckey's insights highlight the importance of strategic portfolio management, transparent communication, and adherence to well-defined investment criteria in venture capital. The triage process, while challenging, offers opportunities for value creation and portfolio optimization when executed thoughtfully. If you want to find out more about IMD's Venture Asset Management Initiative, go to imd.org. We'll see you next time.